Someone's calling us.
Who's calling?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
How are we doing today? Who's calling?
That is Rabbit T. Rabbit. Somebody said to call you.
Oh, sweet. Rabbit T. Rabbit.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Nice to hear from you, man. How's it going?
I just jumped into town to see if I can get some more stuff to put on the forecast cow. And it's a message there. Call Sonic God. I didn't even have his number, so I called Sonic Blue. No kidding.
Yeah. Sonic Blue, he's a good friend of mine and actually does the Time Machine show.
Yeah, I know. I want to throw that on the forecast calendar. So, you know, that's why I was calling around. But, what's up?
Hey, not much, man. I remember seeing you. I got to speak to you briefly at Midwest Fur Fest 2010 when we had all the returning guests of honor.
2009.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm sorry, 2009. Yeah. All right, 2009, I mean. It was good to finally see you in person. I heard so much about you and got to talk to you in channel for a little bit, and we're glad to have you on the show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're on here now, right? I mean, are you?
Let's see.
Wait, yeah. Yeah, you know what you're doing first, right?
Say it again? Let's see.
Huh?
I wonder if my phone is still working. Let me plug it into a power source. I have to do this kind of a very low-tech way because we don't have
I get so confused that there's so many Sonics in the fandom. I heard I keep confusing one Sonic from the other.
Oh, yeah. There's got to be like 3 dozen Sonics out in the fandom right now.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, Sonic Blue.
Over 9,000.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sonic Blue's older than I am, but I've been actually in the fandom since 1991.
Oh.
This is a long time.
I thought who came to New York several months ago, and I had him on my show doing Ohio Puppets. I haven't edited it yet, so it hasn't aired yet, but I'm working on it, so.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so he was here in New York back in June.
Hmm. I do have to ask you a few questions. One of them is, do you plan on returning to Midwest Fur Fest or Anthrocon or another furry convention?
It's very expensive for me to go. That's the reason why I haven't been going. You know, I stopped going to Anthrocon when they went to Pittsburgh, and the only reason I went to NFL Blaster is because they invited me back, and even then it was expensive because they only covered the hotel room. And so what makes it expensive is bringing all the stuff.
Oh, of course.
You know, I mean, like the costume and all my field equipment, so I mean, you know, see, so now that I'm in the show with those, like I said, I got a dozen episodes of the Rabbit Show out of it, the air on the Rabbit Show, which is nice, but still, it's really expensive to go, and then now that my job is on shaky ground, it's even spending money is a little bit more tricky now. You know, I back in May, I just stopped getting laid off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know, so, like, and this happened while I was on vacation, and then I was, like, visiting Mouse Falls and a whole bunch of other stores in the Portland, Oregon area, so I come back and go, crap going on. So, you know, unfortunately, attending a furry convention is sort of like low priority now. In fact, I went to FA United back in the Monday weekend. I almost pulled out of going because, again, when all that the layoff happened and everything, you know, the only reason I wanted to go was the first priority schedule, the Rapid Rabbit Show, and then Skyfire Fox offered to cover me. So that was a help, so I did go to FAU.
That would be awesome if we get the chance to see you again. I know it's really difficult to get out to conventions because of budgeting and trying to scrounge up the money.
I thought it was amazing how many people can afford to go to like almost every single one of them. So many, a great deal of them.
Yeah.
I have the vacation time to cover stuff like that, but then I do other things on my vacation days too, including, you know, for shooting gigs, you know. Once in a while, I even get a paid one, but very rarely, you know.
Yeah.
Well, but, I was canceled. Who said that?
Yeah, Chris Blaine's got a question in the channel for you. Yeah, it's like, you wouldn't cancel your show. Your show's been on the air for how many years?
over 27.
Wow.
In New York, I'm at the mercy of the two TV networks that I'm on in New York. I'm on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and I'm on Queens Public TV. And I'm kind of lucky I'm still on MNN, because I haven't lived in Manhattan in God knows how long. But they haven't let me off yet. They have the right to, but I mean, if you're going to be on public access TV in New York, the best place to be is in Manhattan. But also, you get a webcast.
Of course.
Manhattan Neighborhood Network actually webcast their entire schedule. So, in addition to my webcast from the Pulpad webcast, I'm also on MNN's webcast on Friday. I'm online twice a week, actually. You know, although that came, the MNN webcast came after Gabby's.
I gotta hand it to you for being on the air for 27 years. It's like, how do you manage to keep finding the spirit to constantly produce these shows of absolutely amazing quality while at the same time trying to keep your audience interested in what you're doing? Days when I get the chance, I'm going to have to watch that Rabbit T. Rabbit show again. I've only seen a few episodes of it, but I have to say, the content that you put on the air, that's really cool what you guys do. I mean, everybody in channel out there, they remember the old Save Coney Island episode that you done, what was it, a couple of years back?
I took part in a couple of those protests at City Hall, and you know, I did the Mermaid Parade last year. I didn't do it this year. I did it last year. And still monitoring a situation in Coney Island. Like some of the last historic buildings in Coney Island are about to meet the wrecking ball, including the place where Harpo Marx made his stage debut with the Marx Brothers. About to get knocked down, literally. Yeah.
Oh man, we're gonna miss that old place. And I also noticed that too. You know, where you were in your costume. A big old Rabbit T. Rabbit costume. I finally got to see that at Midwest Fest 2009. I remember I'd asked you how old that suit was, or how long you've been doing that.
It's 20 years old.
Wow.
Damn.
That suit is 20 years old. It was built by Stagecraft Incorporated, and it was run by Big Bear from Sesame Street.
That's awesome. Wow.
That's nice. That's
an
old suit.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I got it. Jeans are all you've got, otherwise I'll trip over my words.
That's just a thing of beauty. I mean, you've got yourself, how should I put this, an artifact of the furry convention or the furry world out there. And you said it was signed by Big Bird from Sesame Street?
Actually, I got tons of stuff autographed by Big Bird from Sesame Street. I mean, I take the tail feather inside the head. But I got tons of stuff, signed by Big Bird. You know, hey, he's my hero. The guy's my hero, you know.
Yeah. I mean, almost everybody out there who, you know, was, you know, growing up during the 70s and the 80s, virtually every one of us know about Sesame Street and, you know.
Well, they had their 40th anniversary, 40th anniversary just back in November, and I dropped by it, Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch said hello. In fact, Grover said hello. Big Bird, Oscar, and Grover. He was the last time I talked to Grover.
No.
Yeah, you can hear it, and I was able to air that. Although, it was a feat actually getting it on videotape, being that I, even though Big Bird invited me down, I still didn't have press credentials. Yeah, you know how security is in New York, you know.
Yeah.
So, last year, the selected age limit for my show is, what age limit?
Yeah, let's see. I'm getting a couple of comments here. Alligator's like, this is a hard interview for TSG to conduct. Now, but before we continue on this, just understand this is an impromptu call. We didn't prepare for this. We didn't, no. You know, think about what we were going to say here. We don't have a list of questions we're going to ask this guy.
Okay. Remember, I just happened to drop in town just on the spur of the moment because, again, I was working on the calendar, so I just want to verify that, for example, you were on the air so I can put it on the calendar. And this is your regular time slot, right?
Say it again?
This is a regular time slot, so I can put it on the calendar that way.
There we go. Let's see. We're going to take a couple questions from channel. I hope you don't mind,
okay.
Rapid.
No, go ahead. I'm watching the channel right now, so I can sort of see what's going on.
All right. So we got, if you guys want to ask some questions to Rapid T Rabbit, feel free to ask him whatever questions that you got. Chris Blaine is asking, that video with you and Tully, was that staged?
Yes, that was staged. I'm shocked. I'm even being told it was real. It was a gag, and I was in on it. In fact, I edited it the baseline shot and added the sound effects. What people have not seen was the thing we got 5 years later for Robert D. Rabbit's 25th anniversary where Tully's like kissing and making up. Well, actually, no, actually, it was a 20th anniversary, I think. Yeah, but 5 years later, we had Tully kissing and making up. Now, I have yet to put that on YouTube. Maybe I could probably get away, think of getting away with doing that now. But, oh, yeah, he's like, and he often had a grudge making wise cracks in the background. In fact, that Tully Monster shot, that Tully Monster dropkick scene, that was actually shot with Big Bird's camera.
Yeah, if you end up getting that up on YouTube, let us know, all right?
Yeah, okay, I can dig it out of the archives. I'm looking at a mountain of videotape right in front of me as we speak.
All right.
For all you Maddox. And
Sean Wolf's got a question. Rapid T Rabbit, what's your most favorite memory, your favorite memory of all time?
I'm thinking of a favorite memory. I would say the 16K cartridge for my Vic 20. Just kidding. I don't know. That's a toughie. I've got like tons of memories. I mean, when you're doing a show for almost 3 years, I mean, I've had a lot of, great moments in my performing career, such as it is. Like being on the White House lawn and hitting the ground. That was actually 15 years ago.
Wow.
Robert Graham the toy's White House accident on the White House lawn. And then later that same week, I was honored at the Dude Operate in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Well, there's something... I'm sorry. I was just thinking of this. There was something quick that I was pointing at. I remember you guest appeared on the Fun Day Poppet show several months ago. I wonder if it was like last year.
A year ago.
Was that?
Because I was out there for my birthday. I was taking advantage of the birthday promotion at Walt Disney World.
Okay. So that's how you got in the show. Yeah. When you were doing the channel, reading the channel names off of Roll Call, and we'll probably do that later on here tonight, people had made a comment that they were reading my name. It was supposed to be the Sonic God, and you ended up pronouncing it the Sonic Good.
I didn't have my reading glasses on.
Okay.
This was going by real fast.
That's okay.
That's normal.
People were just commenting on that and how pure you were and whatnot. And, well, we thought you were amazing regardless of the fact that you didn't have your glasses on.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, that was the first time that show was live before Funny Puppet Show, and that was like the first live show I had done since March of 2006, which is the last time I did a live show in New York, because for various technical reasons, I cannot go live in New York anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's so. In fact, I may not be able to, what I was able to do in the Funny Pop before the Funny Pop show back in September, I may not be able to do that again now because, some of you may realize that this past January, Yappy had separated the streaming feed, the Rocky Roberts streaming feed from the Sunday streaming feed. That was because of the change in his work situation and everything there. So what he did is completely automated server playback for Rocky Roberts. So I still can't go live there either, unless you do some major reprogramming and stuff like that. Although, the good thing about that, though, is that now the Rocky Rabbit Show can stream on Sunday afternoon, even when Sunday doesn't stream. Because when I was dependent on him being live, well, Rocky Rabbit stream to occur, now he has it automated, so even when he's not there, it goes on.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I was kind of wondering about that for a while.
That happened because Yappy's work situation changed, so therefore he cannot get home from work in time.
Get his broadcast system up,
let alone early enough to get my show up, but then between him and Akia Kami in Ohio, they figured out a way of automating it, so now I can just, FTP the MPEG file. Actually, I FTP'd to Ohio, and then Akia sent it over to Timbrew, and then I log into Timbrew and queue it up. So that's digital video. So it was like out of a preparation for what's happening to my job, because like, I don't touch videotape at work anymore. Everything's like all server files, you know?
Let's see. Question from AnthroGuy 101. Rapid, do you consider yourself to be a furry?
I was most likely, probably, actually New York City's first furry, when you think about it.
Really?
Well, again, being at the Rapid Editor started way back in 1983, and then I started fursuiting back in 1986 with my first appearance in the Easter Parade, which I still do today. So, in fact, that's the longest event I've been doing since the beginning of the Easter Parade. So, I probably was the first furry in New York City, at the very least, before it even had a label.
I am absolutely honored to be speaking with the so-named first furry of New York City. That's really cool, man.
Oh, yeah, likewise. I pretty appreciate,
it's incredible. Seamus has a question. Rapid T Rabbit, do you read much? And if so, is there a particular furry story that you enjoy?
Oh, yeah, could you repeat that? You broke up on the phone.
Well, let's try that again. Do you read much? And if so, is there a particular furry story that you enjoy?
Well, I don't read furry stuff, the specific furry genre. I mean, I'm just mainly the funny animal stuff, you know, which is mostly gleaned out of the mainstream, really. And again, I grew up worshipping Bugs Bunny, and who knew that some years down the road I would actually get to be very close with Bugs Bunny for a few years. I mean, as close as you can get, if you know what I mean. And just today I ran into Manhattan, Madison Square Garden, to try to get to meet the Nestle's Quick Bunny, but I couldn't find him. He was probably doing an appearance at Madison Square Garden for a basketball game, which I was not attending, but...
Very cool. Katie, you got any questions for Rapid at all?
I suppose the only one I really can think of off the top of my head is, how'd you get involved in this whole thing? Was it just an interest in, the cartoons and all, puppeteering? What pulled you into this whole thing?
Yeah. What got you interested into the furry fandom?
Pardon?
Yeah, what got you interested into the furry fandom?
Who got me interested?
Or what got you into it?
I first heard of the community because I used to hang out with Thaddeus Fox way out in California, who I've known, again, longer than the furry community. He actually published online the world's first weekly electronic comic strip, which is also probably one of the world's first furry comic strips. And he somehow got one of those flyers in the mail. It was a flyer advertising the first conference. And so that's how I first learned about the community existing, or at least the beginnings of the community. And then I was also in touch with artist Robert Hill, who is a former Disney cast member. He's an artist and everything, a furry artist. And then he put me in touch with some furries here in my area, I think. The first fellow furry I met here in the New York City area was Meiji, who I still know is very good friends with today, and he contributes to the Rapid T Rabbit Show. Getting in touch with the furry community, that sort of had started with when I was actually doing some paid mascot. live here in the last week.
Oh, nice.
Actually, I have one more question. Given the current age of your fursuit, are you going to pretty much continue to wear that until it just finally wears out completely? Are you having any plans on doing an update to it? You
know, well, the funny thing is, it's just a sentimental value attached to it, being that it was funded by Big Bird from Sesame Street.
Hmm.
You know, I was telling somebody recently, they were since they do that, but we had Wonder Bear, who's the mascot of Wonderland, Gillian's Wonderland Amusement Park, with us in the parade. He tagged along with us, and I told people how much I really appreciate Wonder Bear, because Wonder Bear and Roxy Rabbit have something very much in common. We are both, both our wardrobes came from Stagecraft of Cincinnati, Ohio. The only difference is, Gillian can buy Wonder Bear a new wardrobe every year. I mean, it's actually been refurbished once. It has been refurbished once. And I think I recently hooked up with a pursuiter in Delaware who's performing some repairs for me and everything. So I like to keep using that suit a lot longer. Plus, I don't have room for any more suits. I live in a very tiny, cramped apartment. It's kind of hard stowing suits I do have here.
I think that's freaking awesome.
I want to ask a question that I see from Answer Guy. He asked me, did Roxy Rabbit make anybody else furry? Anybody other viewers furry? Well, we wasn't a few at the time, but I do know two people who learned about me, who saw me on The Daily Show, and that made them furry, or inspired them to be furry. One of those was Crispy Critter, actually. Artist Crispy Critter, some of you know him. Yeah, he actually first learned about the furry community from seeing my story on The Daily Show on Comedy Central, and which is amazing considering the fact we did not mention furry at all in that interview. In fact, I made it a point not to mention furry, and by agreement, we did not bring up furry at all in that interview. But there was a few furries who inspired. And then I recently got in touch with Kieran Grumpy out in Pennsylvania, who knows me in the Care Bear fan community, but he had no idea that I was also Rapid Rabbit. But he remembers seeing my interview on Daily Show also at the age of 16.
Wow.
So, again, it wasn't so much viewers that I didn't make any viewers for it, but I made other people who've seen me being interviewed as Rapid Care. I sort of, like, inspired them to be furry.
Hmm.
You know, and I'm actually proud of that, you know. I personally don't promote the furry fandom. Per se, if people ask me about it, I will answer questions about it, but I will only personally talk to what I do, because it would not be fair for me to characterize what everybody else does, you know, especially given the rather delicate nature of the public image of the furry community. So I do my best to nurture it, but I'm not a marketing person, you know. You know what I mean? I'm a lousy salesman.
And see, Alligator is asking, let's think of something that we can perk up this interview, I guess. Hey, I'm just looking through your Wikipedia article here online.
I have to make a few corrections.
Okay.
I know you're more already, so you don't see the mistake.
Say, Rapity Rabbit and Friends, puppet show on Cablecast Weekly and Television City in New York. It started on February 21st, 1983.
Television City?
Television in New York City.
And New York City.
Dyslexia. Yeah.
I have dyslexia.
Donald Trump wanted to go to Television City here in Manhattan.
So,
he didn't. I think I'm going to anything anyway.
I'm looking at all these guest appearances, and I have to say, my God, this is awesome. Guest appearances by the Care Bears, by Chuck E. Cheese, Big Bird.
I have not been licensed.
What was that?
I've been licensed, but I've gotten away with them.
Yeah. Even Greg the Bunny, wow, if you remember the old Fox show.
Greg the Bunny, what's an interesting story about Greg the Bunny? I sought out, I reached out to him to grant Rabbity Rabbit an interview because Greg the Bunny and Rabbity Rabbit have something very much in common. They both had their television roots on public access. Nobody knows that, or nobody seems to recall that, but Greg the Bunny started out hosting a show called Drunk Tapes on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which is the same network that Rapid Rabbit's still on today. And then Greg somehow got picked up by IFC, the Independent Film Channel. Then he went onward to Fox. Then he went back to IFC. And now he's working with Warren the Ape on MTV.
And the guy who does the voice from Dan Milano?
Yes, It took 3 years to actually accomplish that interview, believe it or not. Because at the time he was still, he moved to Los Angeles years ago, but he was still flying to New York to do the Great Money Show for IMC, and then they'd wrap it and run back, and I kept missing him, or schedule they were hooked up. So I kept bugging him by email, essentially, and finally he agreed to do it. But we have to do it, that interview sort of like, we had to do a fake satellite interview. That's how I got the idea of doing it. So, I wrote him questions. I emailed him questions. He answered them on videotape. He sends the tape to me, and then I edit Gravity Rabbit asking the questions. You can look at it on YouTube. It is on YouTube, you know. The full half-hour show is on YouTube.
Okay. We'll take a couple more questions from the audience. Let's see, looking up through the list here, I know Pyrofox had a question and the channel keeps scrolling. Did you ever plan your show to be appreciated by children and furries alike?
Well, like many shows on public access, there wasn't that much planning involved. You know, maybe some of my inspiration came from doing the frog puppet on the Roll Show, who's a virtual twin to Java Frog on the Sunday Barber Show, believe it or not. From watching Willie Hohauser hosting the Roll Show, that sort of like gave me, again, more inspiration to do the Rabbity Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have just done a story talk show, but then what's the point of that? So I figured, I like hanging around rabbits, cartoon rabbits, so I produced a show hosted by one.
And speaking of
what? It keeps it wide open. Rabbit has several visions for Rabbity Rabbit. He could be like the mascot of New York City, which New York City ought to have, but doesn't, and still doesn't. Rabbity Rabbit could be sort of like a roving reporter that interviewed that tried to cover the scene revolving other furry characters. And I sort of tried doing things like that on the show, when I was able to get away with it, like producing a music video with Bugs Bunny on Fifth Avenue. That used to be on YouTube, and then it got kicked off, so now you got to look it up on Vimeo. Rabbity Rabbit is sort of like the bird that tries to tie all the worlds together, you might say. I'm amazed how far I've come despite the limited connections I have, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, one question here from the Rabbit Hole and Channel, and then I got one more question for you. Rabbity Rabbit, you inspired FSP, I think you mean FPS, and how do you feel about that?
I'm kind of flattered. Funny Puppet Show a lot of things on the Funny Puppet Show I do first. But the show that Rocky Rabbit probably had more in common with is one that's not in production anymore, and that was the Mr. Bear Today Show, if anybody remembers that.
I think
I do. Mr. Bear Today Show, because that was produced on Cat Channel 2 Erie, Pennsylvania, and I've had Mr. Rat and Mr. Bear on my show a few times. I think he sold that suit, so the bear was sold to somebody else now, but that was a public access TV show, and I have every episode on videotape from DJ. I wish that show had kept on going. The show has a big community, and they have a lot of interactivity that I wish I had on the Rabbity Rabbit show. I used to take live phone calls in New York years ago, but I had to stop because they were just simply fizzling out. There's a lot of work out on the Pony Papa Show where they took it to the max and above and beyond. Rabbity Rabbit is still more community-oriented television, and I cover things from a New York City point of view. So I would like to say that the Rabbity Rabbit Show, it's not necessary, not intended to be a furry show, but it is most definitely a furry-friendly show.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I saw a couple of quickie technical questions to reply about. Let me just answer very quickly. Somebody asked me when I started. 1983. Somebody asked me, do I use Public Access Studio or my own equipment? I use my own equipment. I rent a private studio because I'm ineligible to use the free Public Access Studio, and that's how I
right, and let's see, we got one more minute here, so how about some words to live by? What's a good philosophy that you'd like to teach other people about? That's a good idea. Hey, Rapid, I just want to thank you so much for calling in. It was unexpected, but not unwelcome. You are certainly more than welcome to be on a show at any time. We're going to get to some music requests here very soon. Hey.
Okay, sure. And, again, thank you for having me on. And I just want everybody to watch my show on 4:30 every Sunday, 4:30 Eastern every Sunday before the Sunday Pulpit Show. Or you can also catch it off the Manhattan Neighborhood Network feed on Friday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And not 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. And you actually get the show first there before Pulpit gets it. So it's on my website, which is pulpit.org/rapidtrapid. And I also have a Facebook page now, too. So look me up on Facebook.
I will.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, you are as much of a legend as you are a gentleman. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope
to keep having everybody. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. Hope to get to see you soon. Bye-bye, man.
Later, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so, Rapid T. Rabbit. I don't know how much time you've had to spend with him, but he is just an amazing person, amazing performer, and I'm so glad that he had the chance to call us in. And I hope to see him again in the future, because apparently it's a little expensive to get out and to out to conventions. You know, it costs a lot of money and whatnot, and I know about costing money, and for myself, I'm trying to get my card paid off. I got 5 more payments to go, people, and then I might be able to see more conventions and hopefully get out to see out Rapid T. Rabbit.
Yeah.
So, let's see. We'll give him hugs. Thanks so much. And let's get to the statistics and then let's get to the music.